Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Welcome, everyone. This is Dennis, and I am here with our Spirit of Truth Ministry team getting ready to participate in another dynamic study called The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. I want to call your attention to our chat room, which I am monitoring today. The WordPress website and our original website are linked on the chat room. You can click on those and go there. I highly recommend that you bookmark those, and that way you can get to them easy, because periodically we post new and interesting material on the WordPress website. Our book is also located on the WordPress website, and you can read that for free. We are continually growing the website. The RSS feeds are continually being updated, and we have people every day joining with us to read what is there and to participate in the study and application of the truth in our lives. Let's have prayer, and we will get started. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, our Mother, I pray that you will now be with us in spirit and in truth, that you will protect us from the evil one who is now seeking to deceive us, to call us to his kingdom while making us believe that that is the kingdom of God. I pray now that you will open our eyes, that you will remove the scales that we have been seeing through that prohibit us from seeing the truth. And I thank you for doing this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Suzette.
Morning.
Good morning, Larry and Dr. Don. And good morning to you, Rick. Nice to see you here today.
It is truly a beautiful Sabbath here in Southern California.
In sunny Southern California, this is a Chamber of Commerce day.
This is February 6th.
Wow.
And
February 6th,
it is going to be in the low 70s today with a nice little breeze, and the sun is shining.
The grass is green, and the orange and palm trees sway.
I've always said that this is a suburb of heaven.
So how many of our listeners care about our local weather report?
But of course,
many
people
are still in snow.
Many people see Southern California as the hotbed of the devil, and indeed that may be, and I'm sure is true to a certain extent, but God has a representative contingent here.
Good morning, Lynn and Don. Nice to see you on.
Well, Larry. Yes, I do have a burden on my heart. For over 22 years, God has allowed me to see, well, as that one very poignant statement that the Son of God made, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened unto you. There's one verse I was sharing with our group here in the kitchen. Seems like this class has spent a lot of time in kitchens. I don't know if that has anything significant to it, except that's where food is prepared and more times than not consumed. If you were to ask anyone else in this world, anyone in anywhere in the world, do you know the truth? I don't think you would be surprised to find that most people would say, well, I know what I know, and that's good enough for me. Have you wondered about whether what you believe, worship, and practice is the truth? Well, it was good enough for my mom and dad and brothers and sisters, and good enough for my friends and neighbors. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. When the Son of God came to this earth, he didn't ask that question, but in what he said, those who heard him asked themselves that question. He is saying something completely different than what I have always heard, practiced, believed, and worshipped. And most of them were very hesitant to accept what he was saying because it would cause them to be thrown out. And by thrown out, what I mean is the devil has been very successful in controlling the way people think and process information. It's how he keeps them all deceived. Most people who go to church or who are members of a religious organization or some spiritual group, believe wholeheartedly that the deity that they recognize and associate with and worship and serve will accept them and provide for them as long as they continue to do what the group does. And if they were ever to be thrown out of that group and told they could never return, that their soul would be forever damned. And so it was with those who were in Israel there throughout time. They would go to the synagogue and they would go to the temple on the feast days. And it allowed them to maintain and this connection, and to recognize that they were connected with their God through all of these practices and through these feasts and associations. And if the authorities, the rulers of the temple, and those who held the reins of power in the synagogue and the spiritual practices of Israel, if they saw that you were running contrary to their teaching, they would throw you out. And you could no longer go to the synagogue. You could no longer participate in the feasts at the temple. You were an outcast, an outsider. And being such, you were separated from your God. And if you were separated from your God, you were forever damned. And you would suffer the terrible consequences when your God would judge his people. So this authority helps to keep people in line because they don't want to be thrown out. So when this individual walked among the people in Judea, and he was speaking as someone with authority, but what he was saying was not in line with what they had heard from their experts on the law, the scribes, the priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those who had all their credentials to prove that they were God's representatives on earth. What the people did not realize is that the gods they represented were those with the small g, the hidden shadow rulers of this world, who continue to rule this world. From the dark shadows, they rule this world through control of every religious organization and every nation. In Revelation 12, verse 9, there is a statement made by God to John in regards to that ancient serpent called the dragon and the devil or Satan. And it said, "The great dragon, the primeval serpent, known as the devil or Satan, who had deceived the whole world, was hurled down to the earth, and his angels were hurled down with him. These, Satan and his angels, are the gods who rule this world," and that is small g. They are the ones who have the authority to dictate every religious system that exists on the face of this earth. They control them all, and they control them all through lies. And they control the people in these religious organizations by causing them to fear being thrown out. They don't want to be thrown out. In that paragraph in Revelation 12, a lot is said, and a lot must be understood. In that paragraph, we are told that there was war that broke out in the heavens. I guess you could say Star Wars. Because the angels are likened to stars. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and they fought back. But they, the dragon and his angels, were defeated and driven out of heaven. And they were hurled to the earth. The victory, the power, and empire forever had been won by God, capital G. And all authority for his Christ. And what do you think that means? Does that mean that now God rules the world? No. Because then how would God have allowed the devil to deceive the whole world into believing that he was their God and they were to worship him? How do you worship the devil without believing that it is the devil you're worshiping? Through cleverly constructed lies. You see, that's why it is so important to know the truth. If you don't think that the truth is all that important, if you think that what God wants is sincerity, as long as you acknowledge the God of heaven as the God you worship, then your sincerity will bring you to salvation. But if you practice a lie, if the fundamentals of your religious faith have a huge component of lies, or even one lie, then your whole system is a sham. And your sincerity is worthless because God does not operate in and through lies. God's plan to restore righteousness to the people of this earth and perfection to the components of this earth, land, sea, trees, animals, the way that it was when he created all things and pronounced it good. Is that he needs to have a standard, and that standard is the truth. And in order to accomplish this, he needs to have the truth available, because the devil, who operates in the darkness with lies, has shielded this world from the truth. And that's how he maintains his kingdom, and his authority is through lies. Now, these lies are cleverly constructed. In fact, they in some ways may even seem so close to the truth that, well, maybe the truth is the lie and this is the truth. That's how close it is, because that's how he enjoys the greatest success. If he can have a gold box which closely resembles the Ark of the Covenant in Egypt, well, then people can say the Israelites were just copying the box that they saw in Egypt. If he can have his recognized deity of Isis, Osiris, and Horus, and Osiris is the sun, and Osiris dies, and Osiris is resurrected, and, oh, that sounds like the Son of God. Well, yeah, Osiris is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you find throughout all these religious practices, they have a Son of God, and he dies, and he's resurrected. Challenges the status quo. So how do you tell the difference when there's so many teachings that are so similar to each other? How do you tell the difference? Well, what God's plan has always been is that he personally would tell his chosen representative the truth. His chosen representative would write it down, and it would be read to the people of his choosing. And the people would listen, and as long as those reading these words of God were careful to make sure the people knew these words of God and put them into practice, and if somebody didn't, they would be thrown out. And not only would they be thrown out, but they would be thrown out and executed. Because they had heard the truth, and they had refused the truth, and they had acted in opposition to it. So therefore, they were judged already. Through this, God would have a people cleansed, purposed, knowing what needed to be done, and that is to cast the veil of darkness off of the nations, to expose the blasphemous fraud that the devil is, and all of his angels, and all of those who side with him. And then God would judge the world, because everyone stood in the light of truth. And those who had chosen the devil would receive the same judgment the devil and his angels received. And you see, the final judgment, there is no place to cast the devil and his angels to. There's no other world. There's no other place. Once the devil and his angels are defeated here on this earth, they have nowhere to go. And they will be consumed with the fire of the second death, along with all of those who have chosen that side. Why hasn't God done that already? Why does he allow the pain and suffering and misery and all manner of horrific activities that take place here on this earth? What is he waiting for? Many people would sit in judgment on God and say God is responsible because he could have put an end to all of this, and he hasn't yet. It's been 2,000 years, and people start to think, I wonder if we can even rely on him. Maybe he's decided to, you know, we're a lost cause and has gone away. No. God is waiting for the same thing that he has been waiting for millennia. He's waiting for a return of righteousness. In 1437 BCE, God took the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the children of Israel, out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and he purposed to cleanse them of all sin in the wilderness. They would be a righteous people, and he would take them in to the promised land, where they would ultimately accomplish his purpose so that he could judge the devil and his angels and all those who sided with them. But Israel was unwilling. They chose rather to follow the practices and ways of the nations around them instead of standing as a light of truth of the true God, drawing the people of the nations to them because they wanted to know the God of Israel, the God who only exists where truth is. If you think that there is no truth in the world and no way to find truth, because the only source of truth about the true God of heaven is found in the Bible, and there are so many different translations. In fact, the mere fact that the Bible has been translated would imply that it's more or less unreliable as far as truth goes. So if you say truth does not exist and God is truth, then what you are in fact saying is God does not exist, because God only exists where there is truth. And God, who created the universe brilliantly and man is still studying the inner workings of the universe, and they are still amazed that they are finding new things, how it all works, and they try to make us believe that it all just happened all on its own. God, who created the universe, for him nothing is impossible. All things are possible. And if the truth is so important to God, and it is the only way that he will be able to accomplish restoration on this world, restoration back to where he pronounced it good, back to righteousness, integrity, selflessness, honor. The only way that he will be able to do this is through the truth. And therefore, he is able and has preserved the truth. So that if you speak English, you can read the truth. If you speak Spanish, you can read the truth. Or French, or German, or Italian, or any other language in the world, you can go to the Bible and read the truth. But the Bible also has lies in it. And you need to be able to tell the difference, which brings us to the standard of truth. The law, the first five books of the Bible, were given to Moses, the chosen representative of God. The words Moses received from God, and he wrote them down. God preserves his word, period. God preserves his word. His word does not see corruption. His word does not fade, it does not fail. His word, given in the beginning, will continue on through the ages until the end and on into the future. The devil cannot corrupt God's word. Mankind cannot corrupt God's word. All the devil can do is to make God's word unimportant.
Well, the other thing that he can do is make you believe that someone else is speaking God's word when they are not.
Right. And when I say they think that God's word is unimportant, that doesn't mean that God's word isn't valuable. It's that, well, for instance, I don't go to church much anymore. None of us do. Not because we've had it with God, but because we've had it with church.
Amen, brother.
We sit there and listen to the name of God being blasphemed minute by minute, because it seems like the only place in the Bible worthy of a good sermon has to come from Paul, or Paul's protege Luke. And in the worst way, God's name is blasphemed. I would love to hear a sermon from the testimony of Jesus, but they're just not out there. Oh, sure, they read a verse here or there. John 3:16 is their favorite. But they twist that all out of proportion. the great dragon, the primeval serpent known as the devil or Satan, who had deceived all the world. You see, my friends, we have all been deceived, myself included. There is no one alive today who has not at one time been practicing a deception and believing that it is the truth. But you see, what I did was I decided to forsake everything I believed, every way I worshiped, everything I practiced. And I determined to learn the standard of truth, which is the testimony of Jesus and the testimony of God that he gave to Moses, his chosen servant.
What you did, and what everyone needs to be willing to do, is to be willing to be not of the world. Now, that's a phrase that's been bastardized by Christianity, and they think they're not of the world either. So that's one of the lies and the misuse of the Word of God. But we need to become not of the world, even though we're in the world.
The greatest power of the deception that the evil one has brought upon this whole world is to make people believe that they are not of the world.
And when you become not of the world in reality, according to the testimony of God, you then no longer fall under the category of the whole world.
Right.
You become an exception.
Right. And the thing is that when you start accepting and putting into practice the testimony of Jesus, you find that the world does not like you. The world starts turning against you. The world that you once were not of now demonstrates that you are not of.
When you see the deception on a daily basis.
The Son of God was very perceptive. Yes, it was more than his perception, but I'm using an earthly term. The Son of God was very perceptive in telling his disciples, if the world hated me, it will hate you also. Does the world hate you, my friends? Do you stick out like a sore thumb in church? Does your pastor threaten to throw you out? You know, I'm not saying that you need to go and rattle the cage at church. What I'm saying is you need to know yourself for your own self in your own heart and mind. How important it is to learn the truth, to know the truth, and to practice the truth. And when you do, the truth will light you. You will shine, and people will notice. I'm not talking about like they will look at you and you will be shining. What I'm saying is that as they talk to you and as you share what you have come to understand, they will recognize that they don't have what you have, that you will have the ability to answer questions that up to that point they thought had no answers. and answer questions in a way that they can go, oh, I see. And you can say, yes, you do.
The other thing is that many people will say, I've looked at that hundreds of times and I've never seen that before. That's the most common one. Because when you introduced, you're not introducing something new to these people. You're introducing something that's different to these people. And, you know, when I think in terms of my experience with any number of people, they get mad at me because they can't refute the words. If I'm simply giving them the words of Jesus as a response to their challenges, and I can show them where it is in Matthew or Mark or John or in the Old Testament, they will often start railing against me personally and making and casting aspersions.
Yeah, personal attacks are
personal attack because they can't refute the words of God.
Or they will say, well, I know that's what they say, but that's not what they mean. Do you know Hebrew or Greek? Well, no, but I can go to a lexicon. Well, if you don't know Hebrew or Greek, then I'm not listening to you because you don't know. Well, okay, so only Hebrews, those who speak Hebrew and those who speak Greek are going to be able to understand the truth and therefore escape the punitive judgment? Is that it? Do I need to learn Greek so I can be saved? Please. Jesus spoke Aramaic. Jesus created English and German and Spanish and French. He created them at the Tower of Babel. Do you not think that he, in his determination to save the whole world, would not have made it known that the whole world needed to learn Hebrew or Greek before they could be saved? It's just an excuse, a flimsy excuse to not accept the truth. Fine, if you don't want to accept the truth, don't. That is your choice. But when you stand before God and he asks you why you didn't accept the truth, say, well, that guy didn't speak Hebrew or Greek. And God will tell you in your native tongue, go over there with the goats. See, this is important. I don't know how best to express the importance of this. This is what God has been waiting for all along, is for people to wake up and realize how important knowing the truth is. Because those who know the truth are on the side of truth. And when you are on the side of truth, you are on God's side. Because he is the truth.
Oh, but Rick, you are so wrong in that, because God doesn't choose sides. God loves everyone. In fact, I was
God
just,
didn't choose sides.
I was,
God is the side.
I was just looking on at a, and I know this person does not listen to this program, so it doesn't matter. There is a chaplain at a local university who received a fabulous compliment from one of his supporters. He believes in all religions.
Oh, yeah. I believe in all religions too, that they are a fraud.
Well, but this, but you know, he can find the good in anybody. You see what I mean? That. And this
is that what God is looking for.
And this man
is God looking for an element of good.
And this man is a great man. I mean, he is a wonderful person. But I looked at that and I'm going, oh my God. Here is someone who is honestly thinking that what he just gave to this person is a compliment.
Wow.
It's not a compliment. No. It's a condemnation.
Well, but see, if he had said that which was obvious, then the person would not like him, as the Son of God said to his disciples, if the world hated me, it will hate you too.
We are going to have to choose sides.
In Revelation 13, there is another statement made. As this beast emerges from the sea, and we can take this up and I'll start with verse 2. Revelation 13, verse 2. I saw that the beast was like a leopard, paws like a bear, mouth like a lion. The dragon had handed over to it his own power and his throne and his worldwide authority.
That's what it says there.
It says worldwide authority.
Wow.
I saw that one of its heads seemed to have had a fatal wound, but that this deadly injury had healed. And after that, the whole world had marveled and followed the beast. They prostrated themselves in front of the dragon because he had given the beast his authority, and they prostrated themselves in front of the beast, saying, who can compare with the beast?
At that point in time, it would be a good idea to not be part of the whole world, wouldn't it not?
How do you separate yourself from the world? Except that you separate yourself from lies. And the only way to separate yourself from lies is to learn and know the truth. And if you say, well, I don't know how to do that, that is an excuse for staying put. The judgment is coming and is probably very, very near. There are three divisions in the judgment. First is the bondservants, the core group, and those that are identified as the 144,000, the first fruits, the priests. Those are the first. And that judgment takes place now. Is taking place now. The next is the kingdom of the heavens, which is described to be like 10 bridesmaids, 5 wise, 5 foolish. The kingdom of the heavens will not have very much time to decide. That's why it is so critical that they have oil with them. Because when the truth comes, they are not going to have time to sit and decide, well, what should I do? If I go this way, then these people won't like me. And if I go that way, well, then those people won't like me. And see, it's not about whether you're liked. Although, yes, it would be, I'm not saying not to not be liked. But if the world likes you, you are a part of it.
The world hates you if you are not a part of it. And God says you cannot be any part of the world and be part of his kingdom. So oil is critical. And oil is the Holy Spirit. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, then the truth will come to you as anti-God. The truth will come to you as the enemy, and you will resist it. You will fight against it. But if the Spirit of truth is truly in your heart, then when the truth comes, you will recognize it as a long lost friend and embrace it and grow with it to the point where the truth will fill your mind and your heart, and you will be righteous. For righteousness is the truth. And cleansing comes when the truth displaces the lies that have been living in our hearts and minds from birth. And you separate yourself from the kingdom of the world and enter the kingdom of God. And what do we call someone who has been set apart from?
Holy.
And therefore, when God says holy people, as we read in Revelation chapter 8, Revelation chapter 8, starting with verse 2. Next, I saw seven trumpets being given to the seven angels who stand in the presence of God. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. A large quantity of incense was given to him to offer with the prayers of all the holy people on the golden altar that stood in front of the throne. Remember that what takes place at the golden altar in front of the throne takes place on behalf of the kingdom of God. And so from the angel's hand, the smoke of the incense went up in the presence of God, and with it the prayers of the holy people. I know your Bible may say saints. That's what a saint is a holy person.
Let me give you the Strong's for this. It's Hagios. It is Strong's G40. And it is literally sacred, physically pure, morally blameless, holy.
What is the number?
G40. Strong's G40.
Okay, Rick. You said there was three stages. We got three.
I'm getting. The angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, which he then threw down onto the earth. Immediately there came peals of thunder, flashes of lightning, and the earth shook. That is the end of the second component of the judgment. First, the 144,000, they are the priests, the first fruits. Then the kingdom of the heavens, represented by the 10 bridesmaids in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. And you notice that those who were ready went in with him. And then there is the judgment on the nations, the whole world. And the kingdom and the priests go to the whole world. They are witnesses. There are two witnesses that are operating the whole group, and these two witnesses are two people, two holy people.
Actual human beings, not inanimate objects that are symbolic of something.
As I have said before, the book of Revelation is the book that describes the preparation of the bride, starting out with the kingdom being prepared so that the kingdom can prepare the bride. The bridesmaids thought they were the kingdom, and they went out to meet the bridegroom. But the bridegroom would only come if his bride was ready, and she was not, so he did not come. He delayed his coming. So at the end of all of this ends the third, the final element of the judgment, and judgment is complete, and the seventh trumpet sounds. And Dennis, what is the proclamation made at the seventh trumpet?
Allow me to go there and get this for you. It is found in Revelation 11, and it is found in verse 15. And here is what it says. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever."
So some people would have you believe that God just defeated himself, because they will tell you that God rules the world. Satan does not rule the world. So if that is true, then that announcement right there states a fact that God just defeated himself. Why does God go to war with himself? See how ridiculous that is? This world is ruled by the evil one, and everyone who believes and practices a lie, everyone who accepts darkness, and everyone who prefers to stay there will be judged along with the devil and receive the same judgment the devil does.
It also would not mean that the kingdom of the world joins the kingdom of God, would it?
No. The kingdom of God, then the nations, that multitude which no one could count, are those who accepted God and did not worship the beast. And they shall live throughout eternity with God. My friends, I don't know how to stress enough the importance of the truth, because the way to God is the way of truth. You can't will yourself to God. You have to find your way to God, and the way is the truth. That's why the last offspring of the woman of Revelation 12, it is said, the statement is made, it couldn't be any clearer. These are those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. For the testimony of Jesus is the way to God. This is Jesus' own words. No one comes to the Father but through me. That's what he said. He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for participating today. I am going to encourage you to go to our websites. The spiritoftruthministry.net is our WordPress website, spiritoftruthministry.net/S T M is our original website. There you will find all sorts of good information and study material. We encourage you to go to our Blog Talk Radio episode page, where you can download all of our past shows. And I encourage you to join us next week on Friday for another edition of The Bible on Trial, and a week from today for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, so long for now.